ordering Abram and his wife Sarai to leave the country. Well, why were they there in the first place? Why were they in Egypt in the first place? Because there was a severe famine in the land of Canaan. There was a severe famine in the land of Canaan. Moses, the author or writer of the book of Genesis, said that this forced Abram to go to Egypt. However, the Lord had promised to bless Abram, to take care of Abram. So was there really a need for him to go to Egypt? We said last week, probably not. But nevertheless, he made this journey and he went to Egypt. What happened when he went to Egypt? Well, Abram almost lost his wife, Sarai. More importantly, he put God's plan and purpose for his life in jeopardy. It took a divine intervention to get him out of the situation he was in. Maybe today in your life, you're in a bit of a situation, right? Maybe there's some things going on in your family or in your place of work or in a relationship that you have, and you've managed to get yourself into a bit of a situation. Maybe you got in a situation because you're pursuing things or going after things or doing things you shouldn't be doing. You know in your heart it's wrong. Nevertheless, you've begun to justify it. You've begun to lie to yourself and to others. Well, it's time to stop and come clean. Just as God intervened in Abram's life, he desires to do the same thing in your life. Why? Because he wants his plan and purpose for your life to be fulfilled. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he wants that to be fulfilled. What was God's plan and purpose for Abram's life? To return to the land of Canaan, to return to the promised land. That is where God had called Abram to be, and that is where he wanted him. Now that I kind of got you caught up on last week's message, let's jump right back into Scripture here in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. So Abram left Egypt and traveled north into the Negevi along with his wife and Lot and all they owned. Abram was very rich in livestock, silver, and gold. From the Negevi, they continued traveling by stages toward Bethel, and they pitched their tents between Bethel and Ai, where they had camped before. This was the same place where Abram had built the altar, and there he worshipped the Lord again. There he worshipped the Lord again. What is it I want you to notice here in this passage of Scripture? God took Abram back to the place where it all started. God took Abram back to the place where it all started. I want you to think for a moment about when your relationship with the Lord started. When did your relationship with Jesus, when did it all start for you? This is where God took Abram, back to the place where it all started. For me, it really started when I opened up my Bible and started reading it. And not just a verse here or there, but an entire book. The first book I ever read in the Bible was the book of Romans. Did I understand everything I read in that book of Romans? No way. However, I didn't give up. I kept on reading. This reminds me of when Jacob wrestled with God. You remember when Jacob wrestled with God? He said, I'm not going to let go of you, God, until you bless me. Well, what happens when you read the Word of God? What happens when you read the Word of God? When you spend time with the Lord, what is he going to bless you with when you read his Word? He's going to bless you with his presence and his peace. He's going to bless you with his presence and his peace. When you open up his word and you read it, you're going to experience his presence and his peace in your life. So keep on reading it every day. Right? Don't let go of the Lord. Press hard into him. Lean into him. If you're needing direction right now in your life, in your family, in a relationship, at work, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, keep pressing into him, reading his word. Let him speak to you. John 14:26 says this, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. If you're troubled right now by what's happening in your life or what's going on in your family, or you're afraid, you need to seek the Lord for direction. What is it you're afraid might happen in your life right now? I want you to think about that for a moment. What is it you're afraid might happen in your life right now? Right? What is it you're afraid might happen? I'm afraid I might not have enough. Whatever it is, I'm afraid that I might not have enough. But because of this, I tend to be stingy. However, God hasn't called me to be stingy, but to be generous, to be giving. Are you someone others would describe as generous? Are you someone others would describe as generous? Abram became someone who is generous. Why? Because he learned something when he was in Egypt. What did he learn during his time, that season of his life when he was in Egypt? What did he learn? He learned that God would take care of him, that God would provide for him, that God would watch over him. What was the result? Well, he held things with open hands instead of closed fists. During that time when he was in Egypt, he learned that God would take care of him, even when he messed things up. Right? God intervened in his life, and he took care of him. What was the result? The result was simply this. He who had received the promise told Lot that he could have any land he wanted. Let's continue on in our story in verse 5. Lot, who was traveling with Abram, had also become very wealthy, with flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and many tents. But the land could not support both Abram and Lot with all their flocks and herds living so close together. So disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. At that time, Canaanites and Hezerites were also living in the land. Finally, Abram said to Lot, "Let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of the land you want," right? I know God's going to take care of me, so I'll let you have first choice, right? Take any section of the land you want, and we will separate. If you want the land to the left, then I'll go to the right. If you want the land on the right, then I'll go to the left. I don't know about you, but I always want the first choice. I want the first pick of whatever it is we're picking. Why? Because I'm selfish. As Christians, Jesus has called us to give up the first choice or the first pick. What happens when we do this? What are we doing when we do this? When we say, hey, you can go first. You can go first. We're demonstrating to others that we're trusting that God will take care of us. Okay? So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. What was Lot doing here? What was Lot doing here? He was living by sight, not by faith. Lot was living by what he saw, not by faith. What was the result of him making this choice that he made? He put himself in a bad place. He put himself in a bad position. What about you? What about you? Are you living by sight? Are you living by what you can see today instead of by faith? Well, how do you know if you are? How do you know if you're doing this? Because you're in a bad place right now, right? If you're living by sight instead of by faith, more than likely you're in a bad place right now. It could be in a relationship, could be at work, with your finances, or regarding your health. And if this is you today, what is it you need to do to get out of the situation that you've put yourself in? You need to wait upon the Lord. You need to wait upon the Lord. In other words, don't move until he has shown you what he wants you to do. Right? Don't move until he has shown you what he wants you to do. What happened after Lot selfishly did what he wanted to do? Well, then God revealed to Abram what his plan and purpose for his life was. Why did God do this? Because Abram was living by faith and not by sight. He learned to trust God, right? That God would take care of him. He didn't have to run here or run there or go to Egypt. He just needed to stay put, stay where God had placed him, and trust that God would take care of him. Continuing on, verse 14. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, "Look, as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west, I am giving all this land as far as you can see." You're living by faith. Now I'm going to open up your eyes to what I have in store for you, right? To you and your descendants as a permanent possession. I'm going to give it all to you, and I will give you so many descendants, so many offspring, that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you. What was the result of Abram waiting upon the Lord? What was the result of Abram saying to Lot, "You can have your choice because I'm trusting God's going to take care of me"? What was the result of this? The Lord reconfirmed what he had planned to do for Abram. He reconfirmed what he had planned to do for Abram. First, he said, "I'm going to give you all the land in every direction as far as you can see. Second, I'm going to give you so many descendants that they can't even be counted." I believe what the Lord did for Abram, he wants to do for you and me. I believe that what the Lord did for Abram, he wants to do for us. First, he wants to give us far more than we could ever imagine. Right? The Lord wants to give us far more than you or me can ever imagine. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, Paul says this, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him," right? For those who seek him, long for him. Second, he wants to use us to be a blessing to others. He wants to use you and me to be a blessing to others. Paul says this in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's masterpiece, his Picasso, so to speak. He has created us anew in Christ. going to give you so many descendants they can't even become. I'm going to do good things through you and your family. God's plan is to use you to make a difference in your family. Not only in your family, but beyond your family. I want to leave behind a legacy. Yesterday we had a funeral here at churches for Tom Bowman. Most of you know him. And when his sons and his wife spoke about Tom and the legacy that he left behind, I was like, wow. I was just blown away. I thought, I hope my wife, I hope my daughter, I hope my family feels that way about me when I leave. I hope others think that way about me. If they do, then my life will have been a success. Did Abram believe he was called to be a blessing not only to his family, but beyond his family? Did he believe this? Yes. How do we know this? Well, let's start with his family. When his family got in trouble, he came to the rescue. Not long after God had made these promises to him, to give him all the land he could see in every direction, and to give him so many descendants that they couldn't even be counted. Not long after God had made these promises to Abram, a war broke out. We like wars, right? Men do, right? We're into that kind of thing. A war broke out. What happened? Well, it happened that Lot was living near Sodom. And of course, Lot and his family got captured. Well, what did Abram do? What exactly did Abram do? Let's jump back into our story here in verse 14. When Abram heard that his nephew Lot, his family, had been captured, he mobilized the 318 trained men who had been born in his household. Then he pursued Chaldamar's army until he caught up with them at Dan. There he divided his men and attacked during the night. Chaldamar's army fled, but Abram chased them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. Abram recovered all the goods that had been taken, and he brought back his nephew Lot with his possessions and all the women and other captives. Here's a question for you. Who is it God has called you to rescue? Abram rescued his family member. He went after him. Why? Because he loved him. Who is it God has called you to rescue? Is it someone in your family? Is it a neighbor across the street? Is it a co-worker? Is it a boss? Where God has placed you, who is it that he's called you to rescue? Perhaps they've allowed something to capture them. Because of this, they've been going in the wrong direction. Don't be afraid to intervene, but trust that God will give you the victory in this situation. Trust the Lord to help you. Well, what happened after Abram returned from this victory that the Lord had given him? Let's continue on here in verse 17. After Abram returned from his victory over Chaldamar and his allies, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh. That is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. Well, who is this Melchizedek guy? Some say he was a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ, a picture of Jesus. What I want you to notice here is that he blessed Abram. Why? Because Abram your heart and your life to Him? How do you know if you have? You know it because you're giving Him what rightfully belongs to Him. One of the ways you know that you've submitted yourself to Jesus is you're giving Him what rightfully belongs to Him. In other words, 10% of whatever you earn. That's what Abram did here. Most Christians don't do this. Therefore, they don't experience God's blessing. What happened when the king of Sodom offered his blessing to Abram? What did Abram do when the king of Sodom said, well, here, I'll give you a blessing? How did Abram respond to that? Let's read on verse 21. The king of Sodom said to Abram, give back my people who were captured, that you may keep for yourself all the goods you have recovered. Abram replied to the king of Sodom, I solemnly swear to the Lord, God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth, that I will not take so much as a single thread or sandal thong from what belongs to you. Otherwise, you might say, I am the one who made Abram rich. There is no greater blessing than the blessing of God. There's no greater blessing than the blessing of God. To receive His blessing is the only blessing we'll ever need. Are you living for His blessing or for what the world has to offer? Are you living for Him, His blessing, or for what this world has to offer? We saw in this opening video this lady who said, you know what? I was living for what this world had to offer. I was living for my clothes and my things and my possessions. And then I started to look at life differently. I realized that what God has given me isn't for me to consume, but to give away. And so I thought about how can I be a blessing to others? What about you? Are you living for His blessing? Are you trusting that God's going to take care of you in this season and time of your life? Maybe right now you're lacking direction, and because of this you're running here or you're running there or you're pursuing this or you're going after this and you're thinking, man, if I just get in this direction. Instead, you need to wait upon the Lord. Don't move until He has shown you what He wants you to do. And trust that He will take care of you. Maybe you're here this morning and the reason you're lacking direction is because you've never made the first step toward Jesus. You've never asked Him to forgive you for your sins, to be your Lord and Savior. And if that's you, then we're going to pray for you here in a moment. Maybe you're here and you'd say, I'm a Christian, but I've been living by sight. I've been living by what I can see with my eyes instead of what I know is true in my heart. I've begun to justify some of the things I've been doing, even though I know in my heart they're wrong. I've begun to lie to myself and to others. And I know I need to stop. I know it's time to come clean. God wants to intervene in your life just as He did in Abram's life to get you back on track to where you need to be in your walk and in your relationship with the Lord. Because that's the most important thing in life when it's all said and done. With that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I don't know that I've ever made that step in the direction to the Lord. Oh, I've kind of circled around Him or known about Him, but I've never asked Him to forgive me for my sins. I don't remember that time when my relationship really began with the Lord. And if that's you, then I'd like to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me, and here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask You to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me. Make me like you. Maybe you're here this morning or you're watching online right now and you're thinking, Ed, I have been watching everything that's going on in this world today and on the news and on TV. And I've begun to worry about things. I've begun to be anxious about things. I feel like I'm living more by sight than what I can see, and I'm making some choices that maybe aren't the best choices right now in my life and with my family. Would you pray that God would help me to trust him, to believe that he's going to take care of me, and that I don't need to run somewhere else, but the only where I need to run is to Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we run to you and find safety. That you would be our strong fortress during this time. That we may not live by what we can see, but by faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ. Give us the faith. Strengthen our faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.